This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 75. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. Whether you're talking about genres like epic fantasy or urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, you name it, we cover everything, including the best and brightest authors from all the corners of the fantasy book world that are out there. And I hope you'll continue to come back and check out the show so you can catch all of them, because we've got some amazing authors coming up in the next few episodes. For my personal writing update on this episode, I'm already starting on the writing of book two in the Huntress Clan Saga series. I don't have an actual title for that book yet, but I'm working on it. Maybe by the next couple of times, like check in here at the podcast, I'll have that. The Huntress Clan Saga series starts on November 1st, where I'm going to be starting writing that. That'll be my NaNoWriMo project for this year. I don't know if you know what NaNoWriMo is. It actually stands for National Novel Writing Month, which happens every November, where authors and prospective authors are challenged to write 50,000 words of a novel in 1 month. And they wrap all that up on the 30th of the month, which comes out to be just around 1,300, 1,400 words a day of stuff. It's about maybe a two-thirds or half a chapter of a book, and by the time you get to the end of the month, you've written those words, and you have 50,000 words done if you do that every day. You can check out more about it over at NaNoWriMo.org. I'll have a link to it in the show notes for this episode, and you can actually follow my own personal 2019 NaNoWriMo journey at my Facebook reader group, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, where you can check out what I'm doing and maybe a few short excerpts of what I've been writing and plans for the new book that I'm working on. As always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to, check out my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, where I'll have those updates going on, as well as my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can find out about all the books I have out there that you might want to read. And if you want to catch up with me, there's a contact page there. I always look forward to hearing from you. On today's show, we have R.G. Long, who grew up on Final Fantasy video games, Dragonlance novels, RPG Maker computer programs, and Warhammer tabletop gaming armies. He currently lives in San Antonio with his beautiful, strong wife and three wonderfully creative daughters. All that epic fantasy growing up is probably why he planned such an epic series for his first set of books. He has 15 books planned in the Legend of Jillia series, starting off with book one, The Sword of Ruin, and that's spelled R-U-Y-N. Great book. I've already started digging into it. Check it out. Here is that segment of interview that I did with R.G. Long coming up right now. Ronald, I want to welcome you to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's really great to have you here on the show today.
Jamie, I appreciate you asking me to come and hang out. This is awesome.
So why don't you take a few minutes and introduce yourself to our audience of readers and writers and tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into this writing thing.
Oh, sure. Well, I am Ronald. If you have to search for me on Amazon, you need to search for R.G. Long. A little bit of a story there, but I have, let's see, I'm a Southern guy. I've grown up in Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee is where I met my wife. We've been married now for 12 years. We have three beautiful, strong, creative daughters. They are a blast to hang out with. And I have always enjoyed a good story. But I guess I'm of the generation to where I don't mind where that story comes from. So for me, I love movies, I love books. I understand that, like, you know, people are typically okay with you saying that that's a good story, but I really appreciate video games. I really appreciate the stories that come with, like, traditional RPGs and, you know, these games where you take on the role of one character and you're kind of following them along their journey. I've just always really enjoyed stories. And so, you know, even when I was a little kid, I would write these stories, you know, for class or something, just to have fun. But I would also like create my own games with stories of what, you know, these characters were doing and how they were exploring the world around them. And I was reading things like Red Wall by Brian Jacques and The Hobbit, like you do in sixth grade, everybody. And so, you know, just really have always loved stories. And so, got married, got a job and did all that for a long time. And I actually had a friend of mine once say, "Hey, Ronald, I am going to do NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writers Month," which you probably know, Jamie, is the, it's in November and it's when you're supposed to write 50,000 words in a month. And at the end of it, if you do that, congratulations, you have written a novel. I understand some people would say 50,000 words is actually a novella, but go with me here. I was intrigued by that idea, and so I wanted to give it a shot. And so we both did it. We set out to write 50,000 words. I completed NaNoWriMo that year, and she did not, which I thought was really funny. And so after I got done, I found out that I really liked what I had in front of me. And so that actually, that NaNoWriMo experience ended up being my first book that I've written. And so that was a lot of fun. And so I wrote it, I finished it, and I kind of was thinking, okay, what do I do with this thing now? I have, you know, these words on the page. What should I do with them? And then I found a book by a Facebook advertisement, funny enough, and just kind of thought, man, this is a good book. I like this. Who wrote it? Where are they from? Where they publish it and all this stuff. And it was Moth by Daniel Aronson. And come to find out, he's a self-published author. And to me, I was going, oh, this is, so you don't need somebody to tell you your book is good. You can just kind of put it out there. And so I did some research, figured some things out, and started self-publishing my books. And it's been a wild ride ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. I too got into this whole mess with NaNoWriMo, so we can both blame them for it's their fault.
I would 100% agree that NaNoWriMo is probably to blame for several self-published authors, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's exciting when, you know, for something like, my story is much the same. Someone dared me to do it, and I was like, sure, okay.
Yeah.
But it was such a thrill to sit down at the end of it and say, wow, I wrote a book. I wrote a whole cohesive story. And, you know, it wasn't ready for publishing yet, but it was pretty much the roots of it were there. And that became my first book. So I really love to hear your story. It's so similar to mine in so many ways. And I like what you said about the video games. I think people overlook, because it's called a game, quote unquote, mm-hmm. that yeah. they overlook the intense cinematic stories that are written into so many games nowadays.
Oh, sure. And what's fascinating as well is you might find a game where the graphics are stunning. The interface is like intuitive and, you know, everything else, the concept is fascinating. But then you get to it and you're like, but yeah, the story's really lame, right? What drives most of these games is the story. You know, you can get over, I felt like it maybe is a little clunky to control it. You'll get over that if you think the story is good. Same deal with graphics, you know. The graphics will eventually just become as it'll look like you're playing a movie. But if the movie's bad, you're not going to want to continue to engage with it. And, you know, I've got some of these traditional RPG games where I've invested 40, 50, 60 hours into this game because the story's just that good. I want to find out what happens to that main character. And so for me in writing, I'm thinking, I want somebody to be just as excited about turning the page as they would be, you know, turning on the game system and be like, all right, man, looking to find out what happens next. So yeah, for me, I think there's a really good element that you can learn from video games about storytelling.
Definitely. And it's funny, you know, I've played Baldur's Gate on three different platforms.
Yes.
From start to finish.
Yes.
And, you know, even though I know the story, it's like going back and reading a book again.
Yeah, you want to relive it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I've played it on original on my computer, and then I played it when it was remastered on my computer, and then I played it again on my iPad when it came out on iOS. And it is just amazing that game, the story behind that game engaged me. And that one isn't even as elaborate as like something like Assassin's Creed or the Skyrim or, you know, any of those Elder Scrolls games. Right. You know, pick one. I don't know what your favorites are right now.
Well, I tend to lean towards older games. And so most of the games that like I think back and look at fondly were like the RPGs of the Super Nintendo era, like Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy III or VI, depending on where you live, or other games like that. Moving into PlayStation, things like I love Star Ocean, which I just thought was such a really well done game with tons of story. Final Fantasy Tactics, one of the most engrossing stories I've ever played through. And again, another game where like that game was hard, but I wanted to complete it because the story was so darn good. I was like, I'm going to finish this thing because the story was in there. And so, yeah, I played Baldur's Gate. I did a lot of computer games like that. Actually, as well, something that lended towards my learning how to craft was a computer game where you could make role-playing games. So it was called like RPG Maker. I got into it when it was RPG Maker 95 or 99. But it's this game where you make other games. And that was another part of me learning how to craft a good story because – yeah, if your story's boring, your friends aren't going to want to play that game. They're going to do something else.
That's fantastic, and I think that, you know, it's between playing a lot of games. You know, a lot of people I've talked to on the show were dungeon masters or game masters, and that's mm-hmm. where they learned to craft story because they had a live audience to watch and respond to the things they threw in their path, and
definitely,
and all those things. Just, you know, it's interesting how games have come to mean story for so many of us, and have really impacted how we tell our stories now.
Right. Yeah. No. And they do. I think there's that element of keeping the reader engaged, right? Because there's the idea of sure the side quest perhaps, but maybe that gives you more information later on. But the idea of if you're going to tell a story, and you know everybody always says when they go and see the movie made from the book, you know, they're always going to say like, well, I think the book was better. I'm really sad they left out this detail. Gosh, when you're writing a story, you get to put in the details that you think are fascinating that are going to help drive the story. And it's the same with games. You know, you earn finding more up to the story. If you go off on this quest or this tangent over here and you get to find out a little bit more, you know, that's valuable to you. Same with reading and writing. You get to leave a little Easter egg here that maybe only the most serious readers will get, but we'll feel really like, oh, did you mean, hey, 3 books ago when you said this, it shows up again over here. Did you mean to do that? And yeah, it's really cool. It's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's cut over and talk about your books because you've got quite a few out there, which is exciting. The Legends, The Legends of Gilia.
Perfect. Well done.
All right. See, I wasn't sure if it was Gilia or Gilia, so I've literally flipped a coin here almost and said,
well,
I'll just pick one.
It's either GIF or JIF, right? You know, that's kind of what you're working on.
Yeah. No, Legends of Gilia, and the Sword of Ruin is the first one?
It is. And that was, you know, like you said, it got its roots in my NaNoWriMo project. It was not done at that moment. Needed some beefing up and some editing and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that was my first book. When I set out to write a book, I don't know if this is, you know, I have a problem or if I just can't do something like half-heartedly. After I wrote that first book, I went, okay, you know what? I want to write a series. And as I was writing the book, I even thought, okay, no, this is going to be a series, not just one book. I'm going to make this a trilogy. And then I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to write an epic fantasy, I'm going to want it to be big. So my world's going to have 5 continents and I want to explore that world as best as I can. Even as an author, try to figure out what's on the world and where people are going. So each continent is going to get 1 trilogy. And so my first out of the gate series, I've planned to have 15 books. And like you said, I've got 12 of them released right now, and there's just one more continent left to explore. And yeah, it's a blast. It's been a ton of fun to write.
Nothing like, you know, taking things in bite-sized chunks.
Yeah, I don't do that. I go all in. But that's a bit of my personality as an ENFP. I kind of have to, you know, really just go out and give it all that I've got. And so, yeah, I started writing and really started getting after it. You know, in the mornings and at night, you know, after everybody was in bed or before everybody woke up, and just little bits at a time, have written 12 books.
You know, it's amazing. And I hear you say that. And I've talked to so many people that want to write books or in the process of writing books. And they just look at me and they're like, well, you're full time. It's easy for you to find time to write. And I'm like, yeah, but I wasn't always full time. And
no, of course
and
not.
You know, I still found time to write. I mean, people who want to get their books done find the time to write. You know,
sure. And it's a lot of, you know, what's more important to you, like watching the latest, you know, watching another episode of The Office or writing 1,000 words, you know, and you get to choose those two things. It's not bad to watch an episode of The Office, but if you want to have a book published, you've got to write the words at some point.
Definitely. Definitely. So you've got do this. I've just started Sword of Ruin, I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's definitely epic in scope. I mean, you know, with the multiple races and, mm-hmm. you know, everything kind of coming together there. But do you follow Ilrin throughout the rest of the stories, or do you move from continent to continent? You have new characters crop up.
Sure. You always have new characters, and sometimes the new characters are, you know, my favorite flavor for a while. But the story of Legends of Gilia is mostly finding out about Ielrin. And so there are five characters, and I made this decision early on, you know, five characters who we're going to meet, and they're going to stay with us throughout. You know, they're going to survive all five books. And when I wrote that list of who's going to survive, it meant, oh no, I've got a lot of people I'm going to have to kill eventually. Or, you know, maybe they'll survive. We'll decide when we get there. But the story is mostly about Ielrin discovering who he is, but also his involvement in this greater plot. So there's a dark comet ominously in the sky, and all of these creatures that are coming from it and reacting to it. The story is about finding out who he is, what that comet is there for, and what it will mean for the world of Gilia. And so, like I said, the idea was to make it as epic as possible. And gosh, for me, this last trilogy was a blast to write because I got to turn. You know, like when you get to the plot twist of a thing, this is my Act 5 plot twist. And it's so hard not to talk about because I'm really excited about how the story has come to this point. And so when I got to it, I'm thinking, okay, now my readers know what I've been building on since I started writing. And here we go, right into the final dungeon, as it were. So yeah, it's the story is Ielrin and some of his companions, but there's more to it as well.
Yeah, you know, it's when you have that aha moment, or you reach that point where you just really think you've done something special in your book, it's hard to keep it to yourself, and you want to share it right away. And of course, you're not anywhere near releasing the book yet, but it, you know, it's that delayed gratification. Luckily, I mean, I can talk to my wife, and she's always asking me where I am in the current story I'm writing, so she's kind of up to date, and I can tell her, oh, well, you'll never believe what happened with this character, because you have those little happy surprises. The characters do things you didn't actually expect sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying. Sometimes these characters who jump into my story are my favorite. I'm an author who likes to outline and to make sure I know where my story's going. But I also give myself the freedom of saying, here are maybe two or three characters who I don't know what they're going to do. I don't necessarily understand what their part in the story is. I know they're eventually going to come around and you're going to see them in the main story. But for right now, they're a gift to myself. They're going to be crazy, and they're going to do things that I was not expecting. Stink Runt in the Ruin trilogy as one of those characters, this little goblin who can't get his stuff together. He's fun. In my second trilogy, Iridan, I have an elf named Pumpkin, and she is a ton of fun to write, and her adventures with Lincoln and Bernard, two other characters. Yeah, it's fun to kind of play and see where you can go with your characters and what they do.
Have you had any, like, have you had any of these other characters, these side characters, become favorites of your readers? When you interact, do you hear back from readers that they want to see more of so-and-so or whatever?
Yes, definitely. In fact, I had a reader recently tell me, like, hey, where is so-and-so? Like, they're supposed to be around. And I was like, oh, yeah, they are. They're actually coming back. And so all this stuff. And so sometimes when a character goes away for a while, I have a reader saying, like, I miss this person. Where is Amaryllin and Panto? Like, where are they? I want to know what's going on with them. So that's always exciting. What is also bad, though, is when, as an author, you know this, when you've got the side character who somebody loves and then they die in the book, or that you know they're not coming back, their story is done, you get readers who are quite upset and maybe accuse you of writing the wrong story. Those are some friends of mine who will say that an entire chapter in Sword of Ruin was one long typo because a character did not get the ending they thought they deserved.
It's funny because my wife actually saved a character in one of my earliest books.
Oh, really?
She's like, you can't kill Freddy. And I'm like, what do you mean? He has to die. It's part of the story. No, he needs to live. And when your wife says he needs to live, you kind of have to like figure if there's a way you can make it work. So actually it became a joke with some of my earliest readers and my biggest fans. And I actually got a whole bunch of mugs made up that said Freddy lives and like, sent them out to people who were like my advanced readers and stuff. And
that's funny.
And, because my wife saved Freddy.
Sometimes, man, you need the advice of your biggest fans to help you out, right?
Yeah, but I've still managed to kill off characters along the way. Yeah, definitely. And it's hard. And I think the readers think that we just are like, I mean, I've never talked to George R. R. Martin, but I've got to think he feels a little, he sheds a bit of a tear when a favorite character of his has to die. And of course, that probably happened to him a lot.
Oh, yeah, since he killed so many characters. Yeah, I may have been accused of being R.G.R.R. Martin once or twice because of their one chapter in particular, I think three or four really integral characters died all at once. And I had somebody go, this is terrible. Why would you do this? But then on the other hand, I had another reader comment on an Amazon review, like, I don't know what's going to happen, right? This guy's not afraid to kill some characters. So it's both good and bad, right? You know, when you feel like you have not the permission of your readers, but the buy-in to go, you know, this story is so riveting. It's okay if this character dies because, gosh, I just want to find out what's happening, right? And so that's really cool to see.
Yeah, well, and I've done the same thing. I have one of my books, the main character spends the whole thing as like this pirate raider and she sails on the ship and you spend the whole book getting to know her entire crew. And then there's this epic battle at the end. And four people out of the entire crew survive. People were like, how could you do that? And I'm like, it wasn't easy because I really was hoping there was a way they were going to make it out, but they didn't.
Just couldn't happen. Sorry, couldn't guys. Happen. Oh.
I tried. I really did.
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's the way the story has to get told sometimes.
Yep, definitely. And it needed to happen. It needed, it needed, that part of it needed to go away. And because the main character needed to learn a hard lesson about hubris and yeah. So when we've talked about talking to readers and kind of connecting with them, it sounds like you do quite a bit of that. How is the best way for people to like reach out to you, or what do you prefer as a method of communication?
Sure. I'm on social media. The two that I am on frequently are Instagram and Facebook. I have the Twitter. I don't use the Twitter all that much. Just, I guess, personal preference. I don't know. Facebook message is definitely sure to get to me, and I'll respond to that. And that's a way that I talk to a lot of my readers, or just comments on photos. I try to, on Instagram and Facebook, post once a day just to kind of say, this is what I'm thinking, or, you know, here's some artwork, and or my family, which is a big part of my life. So the best way to contact me would be on social media. And each of the social medias is RG Long Author. So if you type that in on Instagram, you'll find me on Facebook, same thing, as well as Twitter. So RG Long Author.
Awesome. And I just, you know, it's fun to reach out to people. And I've heard, you know, from a lot of people who, you know, are supposedly, you know, social media consultants or gurus or whatever, that you really should just pick one or two that you're good at and not worry about the others so much, you know, have a presence there just to save the username, but that's
right.
You know, that's it. And I'm intermittent on Twitter as well, I have to say, because I put stuff there, but not that frequently.
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And Twitter definitely has its uses. I've had a lot of authors who say that it's their favorite because Twitter doesn't cull who you are reaching out to. It just puts it out there. So if someone follows you, they're going to see it, which is good. But I don't know. For me, I just my preferred social medias are Facebook and Instagram.
So for those people that are like looking at your series, 12 books, and they know 15 are going to be the total package, what's the release schedule like for the final trilogy?
Well, currently I am working on the, what are we at, 13th book right now. My goal a month ago was to have all three finished and written by the end of the year. We'll see if I get there. My main goal is to make sure that book 13 is out by the end of fall. And then hopefully the other two books will follow quickly. I would love to have all three books published and out by April 2020. That's my goal, is to make sure that they're all out and ready. One of my daughters decided she wanted to break her arm a couple weeks ago. So that kind of threw a little bit of a hitch into my writing schedule. And, you know, work is busy, family happens. So getting back on the bus and trying to get down and make up for lost time. But the idea is that I would get these books out. Plus, my editor had a baby. So, you know, there comes a little bit of trying to have grace with her because she's a fantastic editor. I don't want to lose her. But she's got other things she's got to deal with right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and, you know, it's funny you say that because my son is due, his wife is due like anytime in the next month and a half. You know, she's.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So it's like, and I know, you know, I can say all I want that my life isn't going to change that much, but I'm sure this transition from parent to grandparent is just as time occupying as the transition from parent to, or from married couple to parent is.
Oh, I 100% agree. Your life will change. I just don't know how right yet.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I'm, you know, and they live really close, so it's bad. I mean, in a good way.
Sure,
You know, I work from home. I could just, you know, jump down there and, you know, offer to get some lunch or lend a hand and, you know.
Yeah, let me watch my wonderful grandchild while you guys go get some lunch. Not a problem.
Not a problem at all. I can get writing done another time. So yeah, I'm in the same boat and it's you know, but it's good in a way that we have the ability to have that time with our family too. And I think our writing has helped, at least for me, has helped free me up some more time to spend with them rather than be locked into other things.
Oh, sure. I understand that I'm going to leave behind these stories, and that's cool. My oldest daughter has read all 12 books, and you know, she is saying, "Hey, Dad, get on this next book. Let's see what happens here." So that's cool. But I also understand the biggest and best legacy I'm going to leave is, you know, who I am as a husband and a father. And so those things are super important to me. So books will get done when they get done. But I'm going to make sure I'm a good husband and father, too.
Absolutely. Priorities are so important. Last question for you here. You know, Legends of Gilead, you're talking about wrapping it up in early 2020. Do you have your next project in mind already?
You know, the funny thing is, there was a part of me that was like, all right, once I complete this, I get to check this off, right? Because a lot of people on their bucket list say, I want to write a book, all right? Well, I've done that times 12, right? I've written 12 books. So some people might think, all right, Ronald, you did your 15-book series, you're done, right? And I would be lying if I didn't tell you I've already outlined completely a second 15-book adventure in the same world happening 1,000 years before the events of this world right here. And I'm actually really excited about it. The problem is I've got to finish my current series before I let myself put more work into this next series. So I have another series. The plan is to write it in the same world and get to explore some different areas, what it looked like 1,000 years before this happened and what led up to this and Easter eggs for people who read the first series, the whole thing. So there are lots of plans, but once we finish book 15, I'll let you know. We'll see how it works out, but I've already put in some legwork for sure.
Well, Ronald, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. You know, maybe when you wrap up the series, when you wrap up Legends of Gilly and get book 15 out, come back on the show and let's talk about where you're headed next and how you wrap things up and get you back on here. I'd love to have you on again.
Jamie, it's been a real pleasure. I really appreciate you spending some time with me today. You're a really fun interviewer. Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us online. We have a whole lot more from the entire fantasy-focused community, and I include both the fantasy-focus.com website, where this podcast lives. You can just visit that site and click the podcast tab at the top of the page to find the podcast episodes, or over in the fantasy-focused community on Facebook, which I am part of. Leave a comment on this episode link there or over at the website page. Let me know what's on your mind, and I will definitely get back to you. Also on the website, on each of the podcast episode posts, you'll find links to subscribe to the show, and you can do that on whatever your mobile device is, iOS or Android, using apps like Stitcher and TuneIn, even by email. Make sure you head over and do that so you don't miss any of the episodes, because we have some pretty awesome guests scheduled in the next few months, including our next guest, Ulf Lehmann. He's on next week's show, and I had a great time chatting with this German author who writes books, great fantasy books in English. And he's just a lot of fun to chat with. Make sure you come back and check that out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. And also, of course, my Fun Fantasy Readers group, where we don't just talk about my books. We talk about all kinds of fantasy books and things we're working on and things that people are reading from my fan group. It's a great way for me to discover new books to read and new authors to check out for this podcast included. So check that out over there on Facebook. Anyway, enough of that. Let's close out the show. Whatever you do, I want you to remember to subscribe to the podcast. Come back here for the next episode and remind yourself to keep your eyes open, folks, because you may not be aware of it. You may not even realize it, but there's magic all around you.